Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Senator Henry Ingerson, representing Senate District 32, the towns of Biddeford, Arundel, Dayton, Lyman, and Hollis. And happy Monday morning to everybody. Before I'm chair of the Agriculture Conservation Forestry Committee here, and I'll have the rest of the committee members introduce themselves, starting at my right.
Good morning, Rebecca Yauch, District 51, Thompson.
Good morning, Dan Costain, District 33, which is Etna, Dixmont, Newport, Plymouth, and Corinna.
Good morning, Senator Russ Black, representing Senate District 5. Good to see you all here this morning. I represent towns in Northern Kennebec County, Southern Franklin County, and most of Somerset County.
Morning, I'm Bill Pluker. I represent House District 44, which is Warren, Union, and Hope. I'm also the House Chair of this committee.
Good morning, Representative Randy Hall, represent District 74 up in Franklin County, 10 towns in Southern Franklin County, and New Portland in Somerset County.
Good morning, everyone. All the towns I represent are in Sagadahoc County. I represent Arousic, Georgetown, Pittsburgh, Woolwich, and West Bath. And my name's Allison Hepler. Thanks.
Good morning, all. My name is Kathy Shaw. I represent District 88, which is Auburn.
Good morning. I'm Tim Jarrett. I represent District 4, which is Caribou, Washburn, and Wade.
Thank you, committee members. This morning, we'll be presiding over four hearings before we get into some more work sessions this afternoon. We'll start today with LD 1227, an act to balance renewable energy development with natural and working lands conservation. And today we have it presented by the sponsor, Representative Bill Pluker.
Good morning, everybody. Good Monday morning. Senator Ingerson, Senator Black, Representative Hall, and distinguished members of the Agriculture Conservation and Forestry Committee, thank you for the chance to present to you LD 1227, an act to balance renewable energy development with natural and working lands conservation. I'm Bill Pluker. I represent the House District 44, which are towns Warren, Union, and Hope. This is a bill that this committee developed in the 130th legislature from concept draft that was introduced by Representative Seth Berry. At that time, we looked into the report from the Agricultural Solar Stakeholder Group that was issued in January of 2022 and developed a bill that received a 12-1 ought to pass report from this committee last year. Unfortunately, it died on the table at the end of the session. Some of the recommendations from this committee and that report have been moved forward without legislative action in the past year, but there are two provisions of that bill that we still require legislative support to get done. The first of these two recommendations, and the easier of the two to accomplish, is to create a centralized database. I'll quote here from the report recommending the creation of this database. The stakeholder group recommends the creation of a publicly accessible database of key characteristics, including spatial data related to approved and constructed renewable energy products, including solar products. So it's projects. So it's a database of those that are coming and those that are done, so we know where they are and what they're doing. The data should be submitted in a format and on a schedule determined by the governor's energy office by all interconnecting solar projects upon final site decision-making following approval of state and local permitting agencies. Where applicable, this information should be made publicly available in an appropriate format by the GEO, that's the governor's energy office. And this information can be used by DACF, other natural resource agencies, and the public as needed to identify potential trends. GEO may need additional resources or staff support to implement this recommendation. This would be an invaluable resource for the public to know where solar development is occurring, to potentially do grid planning, and to identify trends in solar development. Of crucial significance to me is that we are able to see the impacts of solar development on agricultural land, so we might take steps to conserve it. The other piece of this bill is the creation of a dual purpose pilot project. In this case, the dual purposes of the land would be food production as well as energy production. The possibility of having an economically sustainable farming operation operating in conjunction with energy production could be crucial for the agricultural sector in Maine. As we on this committee know, the financial pressures on farmers in the current economic environment are intense. To have the opportunity to earn a passive income from energy production while maintaining food production could potentially ease some of these pressures, while also working toward meeting our goal of reduced dependence on imported food. There are many examples of dual-purpose solar installations that are potentially replicable in Maine. There are solar installations in Massachusetts under which farmers grow crops, as well as others where they graze animals. In other countries such as the Netherlands, Germany, and China, farmers are running combines under solar panels. They have found that the partial shade provided under the panels can hold off the worst heat of summer and help conserve moisture in the ground on the hottest summer days. Some crops, such as corn, that need lots of sun do not produce as well, but others, such as soybeans, can do better with partial protection from the hot sun. In Rockport, Maine, a 10-acre, 4.2-megawatt array has been built over blueberries. The blueberries are still going to produce, but we're all wondering how the berry production of the panels will compare to the rest of the field in the long term. There are real opportunities here for research and study that could help move our agricultural industry forward without losing our heritage or food production economy. In my district, we are losing more blueberry ground to housing lots every year, partly due to the heavy economic pressure on blueberry farmers right now. If the farmers were making money from the solar panels as well as the berry crop, perhaps we could not see the permanent loss of these lands or our way of life. After the bill came out of the revisers, we've continued to work with stakeholders to make sure that this bill really meets the needs of answering the questions about what a dual-use solar project would look like in Maine. And so I think an amendment might have just been handed out to you. You'll see further amendments to the bill that I'm offering to the committee today. The first change is to make it clear that we want this dual-use project to be focused on agricultural dual-use, not any other kind of dual-use. This is an opportunity to install solar. An opportunity to install solar on parking garages or in aquaculture projects. This bill is about agricultural land. We also want to make sure that if we did not get this funded off of the appropriations table, the DACF may accept funds from other sources to get the project off the ground, particularly if federal funds became available. We created a range to the size of projects that this bill can look at instead of a hard limit on the projects. We also made it clear that developers as well as landowners could apply to the program. Finally, we want to make it clear this was not just a study, but if the funds and the resources became available, DACF and GEO could move forward with an implementation of the project. Maine has so many natural resources vital to our economy, from our water to our land, plants, and animals, and now sunlight is counted amongst those. There was a time that as farmers, we could make money solely from the sweat of our labor and the marketing of our produce. As our local market is increasingly controlled and affected by happenings far from our state, farmers find it increasingly difficult to make a living as we once did. Leveraging income from multiple sources may very well be necessary for creating the buffer from the impact of those distant forces so we can stay in the food production business. This bill is a step towards understanding as a state how this could work, where we have advantages that might work to our benefit, and where we might need to pivot away from the way others have done things. I hope you'll continue to support this concept as we have in the past to see how we can conserve our land from overdevelopment and keep our farmers in business. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for your testimony, Representative Plucker.
Yes.
Do we have any questions? Representative Hepler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for doing this. I'm just wondering, I mean, are places already allowed to do this? Okay. I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah, this isn't a regulatory thing at all. This is more about establishing a pilot project so we can really look at where, you know, is it effective to put it over blueberries? Do the blueberries produce better? Do they produce worse without that extra sunlight? Potatoes, you know, is this an opportunity for potato farmers to be able to, you know, run the combine between rows of solar? And so you have regular income from the solar in addition to the potatoes. And so something that would be funded, so a project that would be funded by the state or possibly by the feds to really look at what works here in Maine and how it can be used, how it can be added to the grid, all the different implications. Yeah.
Any further questions? I have a couple of questions for you, Representative. Can you explain, I don't have the history on this. I know you've been worked on it for last session. Why the megawatt limit? Why is there a megawatt range within this pilot project?
Just mostly it's of a financial nature to get a sense of how much money would the state be putting behind this to kind of get this project up and running.
Okay.
We don't want it too small because it would limit our data. So we wouldn't have a good sense of what really is possible. And also, you know, we might want to do a project with potatoes, might want to also do a project with blueberries, might want to do a project with sheep or something along those lines. And so it gives you an opportunity to run a couple different projects with different crops underneath them, see where the real advantages are.
Okay.
And then you put a top range because if we're not going to fund 200 megawatts or 300 megawatts because it's just too broad.
Too much. Yeah. And that was my connected question is that there is so I know nationally there's so much happening out there with dual use with fruits and different kinds of grazing and sheep as well as other livestock. How in this project, is there a scope? Are you going to take any proposals for pilot projects or will the group be developing something specific?
Yeah, it could be the department will kind of develop exactly what kind of projects they're looking for and different ways of examining the projects and what makes sense, what doesn't. So they'll be the ones who are really in charge of setting up the rulemaking to move it forward, but it is not intended to be limited in scope.
Okay. And will the scope of the project include PFAS infected properties as well, or that's going to kind of be?
I don't think that there is any specific language in there around contaminated land, because we're really looking at where it's a dual use so that you're still able to produce food off of the ground.
Right. Any further questions? Yes, Representative Costain.
Thank you. Is there any disadvantage to the solar being over the land that you're using for food or livestock or anything? Do you know if there's any harm that could cause to either or?
To the soil itself or
the crop production?
Yeah. I mean, the big problem is, you know, we're used to growing plants in full sun, right? And so with limited sun access, like I mentioned, like the corn doesn't grow as well because the corn really needs full sunlight. But other things such as soybeans, what I've heard is that partial sun during the hottest parts of the day can help protect them from the increased heat. But also, if you have less of the direct rays of the sun on the soil, then you're not losing as much moisture and that kind of thing.
Right. But is there any negative effect from the solar panels to
the ground itself?
Yeah.
Not that I've heard of in any way. I mean, we do want to be thoughtful about how the installation process happens, because there's ways of installing it. So you're pouring cement footings, and of course you don't want cement footings throughout that ground, right? It needs to be in a situation where they can be decommissioned and removed after the fact. But there's other footings which can kind of be screwed in and then unscrewed out, and there's nothing left behind. So things like that need to be looked at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Senator Black.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in developing a dual project like this, you'd in order to have most crops, you'd have to have different style placement of solar panels. I mean, most of the solar arrays that I've seen are pretty close together. You know, maybe you could get a pickup between them.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about growing corn or soybeans or anything like that, you'd have to have varied spacing.
Yep, that's right. And that's part of what this is looking at. So, you know, if you just have sheep there, then they could be right on top of each other, as long as you have space for the grass in between. But if you're running a combine on them, they're doing some that are tall enough that you could run a combine underneath. Then there's other ones where you're not putting it as tightly. You know, you have it every, instead of 10 feet between the rows, you might have 20 or even 30 feet between the rows. So you could run machinery down the middle, but then also so that there's more sunlight coming through for the crop. And so that's partly what we're looking at. What is the right spacing? How would you actually get it done so that because you're making less energy because the panels aren't as tight, and you're also making less food because the panels are taking up some of the sunlight and some of the space. So is there like a good mix that works well? That's what we're looking at.
Good questions.
All right.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone in the room who'd like to testify in support of this bill?
Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, members of this committee, good morning. My name is Nancy McBrady, and I am the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. I'm speaking in support of LD 1227, an act to balance renewable energy development with natural and working land conservation. Our department supports renewable energy development in Maine and understands that solar is a key component to reducing our reliance on fossil fuels. We also support opportunities for farmers to address their own energy needs with renewable sources and to enhance the economic viability of their operations with thoughtful siting of renewable energy infrastructure. To that end, we helped steward an agricultural solar siting stakeholder group that was convened in 2021 and resulted in a report to this committee that made several recommendations regarding solar agricultural policy development. As Representative Plucker just mentioned, that was LD 856 last year, and it is now changed into LD 1227. These are a direct outgrowth of that prior stakeholder process. The department supports this legislation's creation of a database that tracks renewable energy projects in Maine. Information regarding such projects is currently hard to find and often incomplete. Robust data collection and transparent distribution of this information regarding permitted and constructed renewable energy projects is critical. Access to this data will allow a solid understanding of existing or soon to be developed solar sites and locations in the state, enabling the calculation of impacts on land, acreage, and soil types, and the assessment of other important trends. A database will also allow stakeholders to ascertain whether there appears to be overdevelopment occurring in certain areas and to consider strategies for avoidance. The department also supports the pilot program plan to explore this potential for dual-use solar projects. A pilot is needed to conduct critical research on compatible crops and livestock in Maine to determine the viability for farmers interested in pursuing solar energy generation on their land while continuing to farm actively. The results of a well-developed pilot program will be instrumental in demonstrating whether dual-use solar development is viable in Maine and could lead to future policy developments supporting dual-use growth. However, the department currently lacks sufficient staff and expertise to lead this pilot program. We will require a new full-time staff member to join our team. Without it, the department will not be successful in meeting this bill's charge. I do want to mention that with the amendment that was presented, it does allow for the department to also hire a contractor. So we appreciate that recognition of that type of flexibility needed to bring in the expertise to make this a success. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions now or at the work session.
Thank you, Director McBrady. Do we have any questions? Seeing none.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Plucker, and members of the committee. My name is Caroline Cole, and I'm the legislative liaison for the Governor's Energy Office. And we're also testifying in support of LD 1227. It's recommended by the Maine Climate Council. The Agricultural Solar Stakeholder Group was established in 2021, co-chaired by the GO Deputy Director, Selena Cunningham, and the Deputy Commissioner of DACF, Nancy McBrady. This group focused on assessing the potential impacts and benefits of solar development on Maine's prime farmland and soils of statewide importance. The final report advanced seven consensus recommendations to the DACF and the GO and was released as part of DACF's report in 2022. LD 1227 addresses two of those recommendations. First one, to create and maintain a publicly accessible database of fully permitted and constructed energy projects to identify potential trends and to explore the establishment of a pilot program for dual use projects that combine agricultural production and solar energy production. The GO recognizes that prime farmland and soils of statewide importance are important natural resources for Maine's agricultural productivity, biodiversity, and food security. At the same time, solar energy development is key to achieving Maine's renewable energy goals, reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, and growing Maine's clean energy economy. There are exciting opportunities for solar energy development and agricultural and horticultural lands to not only coexist, but provide benefits to both the renewable energy development opportunities, land use options, innovative crop treatment, and diverse funding streams for farmers and landowners. The GO is supportive of pursuing the opportunity for dual-use solar development in a way that provides the greatest benefit to the state and landowners, and believes that DACF, the GO, the Public Utilities Commission, key stakeholders, and state research institutions are well positioned to inform the design of a robust and research-driven pilot program. Regarding successful implementation of a pilot program, the GO would advocate for adequate funding to support the legislation's objectives and for additional clarification regarding the procurement of projects and energy that would participate in the pilot program, as well as for the commission to remain engaged regarding the negotiation of those potential energy contracts to ensure that it's cost effective for main ratepayers. In designing the pilot, the feasibility of accomplishing objectives utilizing already developed solar energy systems when possible should be evaluated in an effort to minimize some of the program costs. Finally, the GO appreciates the direction outlined in the proposed legislation to establish a publicly accessible database of energy projects that are fully permitted or constructed as outlined in Section 3. This would be a useful tool to identify land use and other energy trends that may help inform decision-making for future policy and program development regarding renewable energy projects. The GO would like to ensure that adequate funding would be allocated for this piece as well for the development of the database, and anticipate the need for an additional staff person or consultant support to develop and keep the database up to date and share the information most effectively with the public and policy makers. Thanks for the opportunity to comment on this legislation, and we're happy to stay engaged with the other agencies and other stakeholders as well. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Ms. Colin. Do we have any questions? Seeing none. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Do you have any further testimony and support?
Good morning.
Morning.
Senator Ingerson, Representative Plucker, and members of this committee. My name is Caitlin Hollinger, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Blue Wave in support of LD 1227, which would allow for the creation of a dual-use pilot program in Maine. Thanks for your consideration of this today. So Blue Wave is a solar and energy storage developer and a leading innovator of dual-use solar projects in the Northeast. We developed the first dual-use project that you mentioned in Maine with a partnership with the University of Maine on a wild blueberry farm in Rockport, which we finished in 2021 and is online producing energy and blueberries right now. I was proud to represent Blue Wave on the Agricultural Solar Siting Stakeholder Group, which was created by LD 820 and convened by DACF and the GEO. After that robust stakeholder process, that group submitted a report to this committee in January of 2022 with recommendations to ensure that agricultural lands are protected while helping Maine reach its renewable energy goals. One key recommendation from that report was the creation of a dual-use pilot program, which this bill would enable. And the report also recommended that future state-sponsored programs that support the development of solar resources include consideration and prioritization of the agricultural siting characteristics consistent with dual-use best practices that we talked about in that group. So in way of background, dual use or agrivoltaics or solar plus agriculture refers to solar projects that allow for continued agricultural production under and around the solar panels so that the same parcel of land can serve the producers. Our dual use solar projects are designed to provide appropriate height and spacing between the panels to allow for continued or renewed agricultural activity, either around, between, or under the panels, or all three. Representing real investment in local communities, dual-use projects provide important benefits such as staple revenue for farmers, increased food security in the face of climate change, and electric savings to residents, nonprofits, municipalities, and small businesses. LD 1227 would direct DACF, in collaboration with the Governor's Energy Office, the Public Utilities, and other stakeholders, to develop a plan for a dual-use pilot program and authorizes DACF to implement that plan. We look forward to a continued conversation about dual-use and the role it can play towards reaching Maine's clean energy and climate goals. Empowering farmers while allowing them the flexibility they need to diversify and expand their operations through dual-use will be a key step towards preserving farmland and the livelihood of farmers in Maine. So I'm happy to answer any questions, be a resource as you're considering dual use. And thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hollinger. Do we have any questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Any further testimony and support?
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Plucker, and members of the Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry Committee. My name is Annie Watson. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the Maine dairy industry in support of LD 1227. The Maine Dairy Industry Association, MDIA, which represents all of Maine's dairy farms, believes any legislation should strike a balance between the need to support renewable energy sources and support the long-term viability of agricultural operations in our state. As the committee is well aware, Maine dairy farmers have felt the pressure of many years of depressed pricing and most recently inflationary conditions. When solar companies look to site projects on farmland historically rented to local farmers, it is often hard for farmers to compete with well-financed energy projects. Competition between two beneficial land uses, agriculture and solar development, delays the siting of needed renewable energy resources and threatens prime farmland and food systems when we take an either-or perspective. This is why we fully support piloting dual-use siting of solar projects. By conducting a pilot program, the state can learn valuable lessons from a boots-on-the-ground application of these techniques in siting solar arrays. The pilot program gives the DACF and its partners the opportunity to collect data to further determine how solar projects affect agricultural productions and what kind of benefits, costs, and support needs are associated with this type of development. We can all recognize the impact solar arrays have had on our landscape as we drive throughout the state. This is why we feel it is more important than ever to balance the important interests of agriculture and solar to ensure the two can coexist in Maine. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Do we have any questions? Yes, Representative Hepler.
Here, thank you for being here. So are you aware of any, like, do cows, other dairy, are there other dairy animals, or are they just cows? Beef, okay, so. that currently do this?
I know of there are sheep that are grazed, okay, at sites that are currently in solar production. I believe that it should be something considered as part of the pilot to make it accessible for dairy cows and cows in general, as they are larger animals. I think it would involve a different structuring of the actual units, because at this point the cows would basically ruin them. If you work with cows, you know that they aren't very light on equipment. So, but that is one thing that we hope will be considered in this pilot program.
No further questions. Thank you for your testimony, Ms.
Watson. Thank you.
Is there any further testimony in support?
Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Plucker, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. My name is Shelley McGuire, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Maine Farmland Trust, or MFT, in support of LD 1227. We appreciate Representative Plucker's efforts on this legislation and also support the amendments that he has introduced. Protecting and stewarding farmland is a top priority for the organization that I represent, because it's essential for ensuring that we have the land base to grow our agricultural economy in Maine. MFT supports renewable energy production in Maine as an important climate solution, including the generation of energy on farms, as long as it does not significantly diminish the potential for agricultural production. On-site energy production can support economic support to a farm. It can provide that support to a farm, and it can reduce on-farm energy costs, which can be very important for farmers. We see a lot of potential in dual-use and agrivoltaic systems that pair renewable energy generation with agricultural production. In agrivoltaic systems, as you've heard, agricultural production continues, whether it be growing crops or grazing animals or a combination of the two, and that continues to occur in between or under panels. Agrivoltaic systems often have different layouts or specifications from the traditional, like, blanket of panels that you sometimes see covering fields. LD 1227 and the amendments offered create the opportunity to investigate the potential of dual-use solar projects in Maine through the creation of a pilot program focused on the integration of solar projects and agricultural production systems. As much as I expressed a lot of enthusiasm about the potential for agrivoltaics in Maine, We also think that there needs to be more study to determine kind of how these systems could work to complement Maine agriculture, and especially in complement to Maine's different like specialty crops that we grow here. So the pilot program would do just that, look at varying sizes, different locations, different production types, and in doing so would allow DACF and its partners to collect really critical data to determine how to advance these types of programs in Maine, what the different benefits are, as well as what the costs are, and so we can understand how to strike that correct balance in Maine. Lastly, the bill would also provide GEO with the resources that it needs to create a publicly accessible database of key characteristics of fully permitted or constructed energy projects. And we think this is really important just for public sharing of information, and also so land use trends can be tracked and we can avoid the overdevelopment of important resources. So we hope that you'll support LD 1227 and the amendments proposed to ensure that renewable energy generation and agriculture can coexist in Maine. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGuire, for testifying today. Do we have any questions? Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further testimony and support?
Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, members of the committee. My name is Eliza Donahue. I am Director of Advocacy for Maine Audubon. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share our support for this legislation on behalf of our 30,000 members and supporters. So we support this legislation for a number of reasons. Maine Audubon was really pleased to have a seat on the Agricultural Solar Stakeholder Group that you've all heard about. But moreover, we support the bill because it will advance a number of strategies in Maine Won't Wait. The state's four-year climate action plan published in December 2020, including developing policies to ensure renewable energy project siting is streamlined and transparent while seeking to minimize impacts on natural and working lands and engaging key stakeholders. Our organization is a strong supporter of renewable energy development, including solar. Rapid deployment of new renewable energy resources is critical to reducing our reliance on fossil fuels and avoiding the worst impacts of climate change, which are the leading threat to Maine's wildlife and wildlife habitat, the conservation of which is central to our organization's mission. Though at the same time, new renewable energy development, like any new development, if not thoughtfully sited, can displace wildlife habitat and negatively impact Maine's natural resources, including our agricultural resources. Policies that allow for the continued rapid deployment of renewable energy while encouraging projects that avoid, minimize, and/or compensate for Maine's finite agricultural and critical natural resources are key to Maine's current and future agricultural productivity, biodiversity, and climate resiliency. And we believe this bill is such a policy. I'll leave it at that and encourage the committee to support this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Donahue. Do we have any questions? Seeing none, appreciate your testimony. Any further testimony in support?
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, and members of the Committee on Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. My name is Heather Spalding, and I'm Deputy Director of Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, MOFCA. MOFCA, I'm speaking in support of the amended version of LD 1227. We enthusiastically support efforts to protect Maine farmland and keep it in agricultural production while finding ways to reduce energy consumption and convert our fossil fuel-based energy system to renewables. Maine's precious and finite farmland is threatened by commercial and residential developments, dramatically changing weather patterns, and synthetic chemical contamination, so we must do everything we can to minimize impact from other industrial developments, including solar farms. Most recent USDA Census of Agriculture indicated that between 2012 and 2017, Maine lost 10% of its farmland, representing more than 145,000 acres of pasture land, cropland, and woodland. Maine can and should be self-reliant with its food supply. We need to put more land into agricultural production if we hope to achieve our Climate Action Plan goal for reducing food miles by supporting local farms. We know that MOFCA farmers already are feeling the pressure of hay fields being sacrificed to solar arrays. We recognize that renewable energy systems like 20 to 100 megawatt solar arrays take up a lot of space, 100 to 500 acres, that could be used for other important climate challenges like wildlife habitat and carbon sequestering fields and forests. We believe that future projects must be assessed based not only on ratepayer benefits, but also on whether projects avoid or minimize natural resource or agricultural impacts. We want to ensure responsible assessment of how solar arrays can be added to farm and open space tax programs so that Maine's prime agricultural lands are protected for farming generations to come. We're grateful to the Agriculture Solar Siting Stakeholder Group for their efforts to develop consensus recommendations on siting of solar energy projects, and we believe that the amended version of LD 1227 lays out a plan to minimize adverse impacts to valuable agricultural land. We are striving to create an agriculture where farmers are helping mitigate climate change while making a good living that allows them to support their families and our communities. We're working to build a future where every Maine child, regardless of race, religion, gender, identity, geography, or socioeconomic status, comes home to plenty of healthy, local, organic food. And this will only happen if Maine's agricultural sector is thriving economically with healthy soils and renewable, affordable, and appropriately located energy systems. Thank you very much, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Spalding, for your testimony. Do we have any questions for Ms. Spalding? Seeing none, thank you.
Good morning, Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. My name is Caitlin Nuzzo, and I am the Government Relations Director for the Nature Conservancy here in Maine. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in support of LD 1227. We appreciate Representative Pluker's efforts to bring this idea forward and support the amended version that he has introduced. I'll keep it short and sweet. I don't have anything substantially new to add. Everything before me has been really great, and it seems like a really great idea. The Nature Conservancy's top priorities in Maine and across the world are conserving lands and waters and tackling climate change. Clean energy projects require substantial space to build and can bump into important natural resources. Maintaining the virtuous relationship between clean energy and natural resources requires being intentional about where new projects are located. TNC believes that with the right policy frameworks in place, Maine and the region can build the clean energy we need in a way that is compatible with our natural and working lands. This bill, there's a typo here. I have the wrong LD number from last session, represents an important step forward in achieving this goal. Thank you very much for the opportunity to weigh in, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Ms. Nuzzo, any questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. Any further testimony in support? Seeing none online. Any testimony in opposition to this bill? Seeing none. Is there any testimony neither for nor against this bill?
Senator Ingerson, Representative Pluker, and distinguished members of the Joint Standing Committee on Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. My name is Deirdre Schneider, testifying neither for nor against the sponsor's amendment to Section 4 of LD 1227 on behalf of the Maine Public Utilities Commission. Section 4 of the bill, as well as the sponsor's amendment, requires the department, in collaboration with the Governor's Energy Office, the Commission, and others, to develop a plan to implement a dual-use energy pilot program. The amendment also specifies that the department and GEO may implement this pilot program. While the commission is supportive of examining ways to encourage combining the agricultural use of land with solar energy production, we find that there is a lack of specificity regarding the implementation of a pilot program such as this. The commission would recommend that further consideration be given to how the projects will be procured for this pilot program and how this program will be funded. Clarification from the legislature on these details is critical to the development of the program envisioned in LD 1227. Alternatively, the authority of the department and the GEO to implement the pilot program could be removed, and implementation could be considered after the submittal of the report in 2025. The commission is concerned that it is envisioned that this pilot program will be funded in whole and part by ratepayers. Any additional financial incentives for solar projects, possibly at the expense of ratepayers, should be considered in the broader context of the many initiatives underway to support renewable energy development in Maine with ratepayer funds. I'd be happy to answer any questions or provide additional information for the work session.
Thank you, Ms. Schneider. Any questions? Seeing none. Any further testimony, neither for nor against this bill? Seeing none, I'll close
Any further testimony at all? And close the hearing for LD 1227.